question was asked, when we read the mitzvot in the Torah pertaining to conquering the land of Israel and dealing with the nations in the land of Israel, do those mitzvot teach us an attitude, an approach, a mode of behavior that's supposed to be adopted even today, long term? Or were they mitzvot only for that generation? And I would like to just add, or maybe define a little bit better. Maimonides wrote, as an introductory to his work, a work called Sefer HaMitzvot, where he enumerates the 613 mitzvot. By the way, Maimonides writes the reason he did this was so that he would have an outline of what he's going to do, meaning he was going to write a book that would encompass all of Jewish law. He said, how do I make sure I don't miss something? I'll first write down what are all the mitzvot, and then I'll start writing my work. It just shows us, sometimes we think when a person's such a super genius like Maimonides, he had it all worked out. And you see, not that way. You see that he also needed an outline before he started writing. We have the work of the Tur. The Tur wrote four major volumes of Jewish law based on which the Codex was written. So before the Tur started writing his work, he also wrote an outline of what his father's commentary, the Rush, was. So the Rush is volumes, and he wrote about a page and a half on each volume, summarizing it before he started his work. So we find this often among our sages, that they wrote an outline before they did the actual work. And that's the hallmark, as some of the commentaries write, the hallmark of an intelligent person. Our sages say that was the idea of Torah in the world, that Torah was the blueprint before you start creating a world. But that's a broad concept. So coming back to this, when Maimonides wrote his work enumerating the 613 mitzvot, so Maimonides writes that we need rules to define what gets counted as a mitzvah and what doesn't. God tells Moshe, go to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh. Does that get counted as one of the 613? God told him to do something. So you say, no, that's not one of the 613, because that wasn't the long-term mitzvah. So here we see that in the Torah there are things that Hashem says, this is what I want you to do to the individual, and they do not pertain long-term. What about the masses? God tells the Jewish people, man's going to fall from heaven, and I want you to collect the manna, every day of the week, and on Sabbath don't go out and collect, because it won't be there, and you're not supposed to go out collecting. Okay, is that one of the 613? Because short-term, it's not long-term. So you see, the Torah does speak in terms that pertain to that generation, and they don't necessarily pertain long-term. We do learn concepts from them. Every Shabbat, we have an every meal that we eat, two loaves of bread, corresponding to the double portion of man that fell down. We place something under it. We place a cloth over it. That represents the man that came down. So we do have certain things that we do that represent what happened back then, but it's not a long-term mitzvah. So your question is very accurate. The fact that the Torah commanded something does not necessarily mean that it is relevant in the literal application long term. If the Torah bothered to mention it, then obviously it's teaching me something long term. But that's different than saying that the mitzvah is long term. So it just so happens that with regard to many of the mitzvot of entering the land of Israel, we have an argument between Maimonides and Nachmanides to understand which of them are long-term and which are not. It happens to be that is a discussion in Halakha. Give me just 1 second. So we have Maimonides and Nachmanides, but the truth is that most of the mitzvot that pertain to entering the land of Israel, the mitzvot of how to conquer the land and the mitzvot of making offering the nations three choices, most of them are not relevant long-term. They were specific to that generation that conquered the land of Israel. The mitzvah to fight the seven nations to the finish, those were mitzvot that were relevant for that generation. So today, our approach, even from a halachic perspective, as a nation, is very different. I often say that the Shabak over here, actually, the Mossad, actually, from what we know, works very much in accordance with halacha. I'm not sure they're aware of it, but a former Mossad agent put out a book a few years ago in which he or she describes the Mossad killings. And basically, what they describe there is that the Mossad only kills people who they view as a future threat. They're not so into paying back for the past. It's more to ensure that there won't be a threat in the future that the Mossad has to wipe out different people. And in fact, that seems to be the halachic approach for our state today. You'll notice that even when we attacked, it was because we felt a threat, an existential threat. And the state of Israel has actually, whether intentionally or not, but the state of Israel has actually acted very much in line with halacha over the much of our history, because the halacha basically says you don't have a prophet who tells you come back now, and you don't have the mitzvah right now, go and fight the seven nations. So you have a country and you have to protect your citizens. So then the acts have to be acts of self-defense. Now, self-defense, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. You know, if we wouldn't have attacked in the Six-Day War, I'm not sure there'd be anything to talk about here right now. You know, so sometimes you have to. But in general, it stems from an approach of I have to defend my people. And that's that in halacha, we also say many of the halachic authorities are of the opinion that the prophecies of the Torah cannot be applied to our scenario today in terms of how we deal with the enemies we have from within and from without. I know people like to say Kahana said this and Kahana said that, but he was one opinion. And if you look around, the majority of the rabbis did not agree with that opinion. Meaning the majority approach is we need to ensure that we're safe here. We need to protect our citizens here. But that does not mean that we have to take an approach that is inconsiderate of our state in the UN and our state vis-a-vis the nations. And we do not have a prophet who came and said, yes, this is how you should play this out. So as such, we do not take the mitzvot of the Torah and say, just copy-paste, yeah, that's what you have to do here. In terms of running a state here. I'm oversimplifying it. I mean, there have been volumes written on this topic. But if I sense what your question is, I think that's the answer.